You are listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Melbourne, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3. Welcome. You're listening to Wake Up with Tom Jones.
Good morning, Saints of God. This is Tom, and it is time to wake up. I just want to say good morning to each and every one of you, and hope you're having a great week. Danny and I, we're here at the studio, and we're listening to some country music, and I was telling Danny about a couple of stories of me taking care of a couple homeless people, and I've gotten in trouble every time I help them. There's one guy that I was helping. I was telling Danny this morning. He is chuckling, but I didn't get to tell him about the other guy, but I was helping one guy, not tooting a horn or bragging to y'all, but there was one guy that he got out of prison and didn't have very many clothes. And he got a job at ADT, and he was staying at the Cedar Missions downtown Melbourne. And he needed some clothes for his job. And my wife said, "Well, take him to Belk." Belk, I'm not familiar with Belk or any of those stores, but I said, "Well, I don't know how to dress myself, let alone try to dress somebody else." So she said, "Well, there'll be somebody that'll help him out." So this is a true story, you all. So I'm getting off track this morning. But anyway, I took him to Belk's, and the lady there assisted him and helping him, you know, get pants and what all he needed, shirts, socks, shoes. That cat was dressed better than me. I'm telling you, you know, when he walked out of Belk's, he was dressed better than me. And so then I went to pick my wife up, and we took him to Cracker Barrel. I believe his name was Luke, and got him a nice lunch. And then I took him back to Cedar Missions. And, you know, my ministry spent over, I think it was 9-8. My wife would have to tell me. I can't remember. I put it on my ministry card. It was quite a bit of money. That close to 9-800. I mean, this cat was dressed better than I've seen anyone dressed. I mean, the lady just decked this guy out. I mean, he had shoes I don't even wear. I mean, you know. So I took him back, my wife and I, dropped him off at Cedar Missions. And then the next day I went to get him for his job, new job at, I believe, ADT. I don't know what he was supposed to be doing. And then I went to pick him up, and they said, "No, Luke's not here." And I said, "Well, where is he? I'm supposed to pick him up for his new job." He said, "Oh, some sucker bought him a bunch of clothes, and he took and cashed them in and left town." I thought, well, that person happens to be me. So, but then there was another homeless guy I met, and he was at the homeless for veterans. It's off of US 1, I can't remember, Fee Avenue, I believe. Anyway, he needed a bike, so I got him a bike and took him to lunch downtown Melbourne, I believe. And then he called me one evening and said, "You know, I need a briefcase." And I said, "Briefcase?" I said, can't remember his name, but got him a briefcase. And I said, "Well, I'm thinking, why does a homeless man need a briefcase?" But anyway, I got him a briefcase. So that week, the supervisor at the VA Center for Homeless Veterans called me. He said, "I got a bone to pick with you." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "You know, you bought so-and-so a briefcase." I said, "Yeah, I don't know why he needed it. I guess he had important papers, bonds, or stock. I don't know what he had." But anyway, he said he's bringing drugs and alcohol in the place. And I thought, oh, no. You know, listen here. When God puts something on your heart, you know, use some wisdom. I tell you, if I get any homeless men anymore, I'm taking them to Goodwill and, start them out there first. But anyway, the Lord takes care of us. Just keep your eyes open, whatever he tells you to do. You know, don't be just, as the word tells us, don't be just a hear the word. It says be a doer, you know. And but as a blessing to Luke and the other gentlemen and to whoever God brings your way, just be a blessing to them. But use wisdom. Sometimes I lack that with people, discernment, you know. But I was at about $900, but the Lord provides. So next time I'll be a little bit more cautious helping any more of these guys out. And then my wife, one time, I don't know if I want to share this one or not, she said, there's a guy on the street corner. And she said, "I can't believe you didn't give him anything." I don't think my wife's going to like me sharing this one. So she said, "I just can't believe it, you know." I said, "All they want is alcohol or drug money." And she said, "I just can't believe it. Shame on you." And so I dropped her off at the house. I went back to get the guy to take him to lunch. And that, well, maybe he needs to go to Cedar Missions. You know, that's a place for men. And so I go back and I said, you know, I said, "How can I help you?" I said, you know, and I said, "You probably are hungry, and I'll take you to get some lunch." And I don't know if I should share this one or not. And so I said, you know, "I can take you to get dinner. And if there's a homeless place I have, that I can take you to." And he said, no, don't want either. And he said, "Well, how much is it worth to you?" And I said, what are you talking about? He said, "You're trying to pick me up." I said, "I'm not trying to pick you up. I'm trying to get you a lunch or dinner and take you to the Cedar Mission place for housing." He didn't want that. So most of the people on the street corner, you know, just love on him. You know, pray for him. I said, "My wife told me to come back." He said, "Sure." And I said, "Look, it's not what you think. It is not what you think. You know, look, we do the best we can. Is it perfect? No. But, you know, the homeless people, I have a heart for them. I know you do too. But whatever the Lord tells you to do, use some discernment. You know, ask the Lord, what am I supposed to do with this person? You know, most of them, I believe, that are on the street corners, they're wanting, I think they have some drug issues or alcohol issues. And I'm not being critical or judgmental, but whatever the Lord puts on your heart, you just minister to them, love on them, share Christ with them. Because, you know, when you turn the news on, you look around. I mean, just when you think you've heard the worst, I mean, just turn on the TV lately. You know, you think, oh, I haven't heard anything like that. Even go to work and you get bad news, or, you know, someone's complaining, and turn the news on and they're complaining, and the gold prices are skyrocketing, and this one's mad, and this country's bombing another country. You know, just when you think you heard it, you know, something else comes up. You know, I think we need to kind of step aside a little bit, start praying, because that's what my message is about this morning. I was kind of torn a little bit studying. I was in the book of Matthew, Thessalonians, and I was asking Danny here, what should I talk about this morning? I did study, by the way. But, you know, I think we need to be praying more. At least I know I do. Because it says, we're going to get into the Word in a minute, and it says pray without ceasing, you know? And I believe praying should be like breathing. You know, we don't have to pray out loud and have people notice us. But I think we need to be praying. And that really hit me this morning studying that we need to be really conscientious to what the Lord would have us to do, who would have be a blessing to, who he would have us minister to, because we live in a broken world. You know, I look at when I left church last night, I was coming out of church, and as I drove up in Merritt Island and got onto the road, I thought, I just felt the Holy Spirit touching my heart. You've just now entered the mission field, leaving my church. I think America is the greatest place to minister. I don't think you have to go to Haiti, and I don't think you have to go to Africa. I think we really need, America is hurting. We are really, really hurting in this country. And I think it's a time for us to get back to the Lord and spend time with him and ask him what we should be doing. The gifts that are in us, Lord, bring them out of dormancy. I noticed this morning, I was looking at a crepe tree, and I noticed the crepe trees, they like cold weather, by the way, and I noticed it was flushing out. And I look at that as our lives. Have we gone dormant? Have we just, we're not bearing fruit anymore. We're not bearing leaves. And are we staying dormant? Or are we asking the Lord to wake us up? And, you know, what's important? You know, what is important in life is to have all the stuff. Proverbs says, better where there is little where love dwells than plenty where hate abounds. So let me explain that. You can have little where love dwells, or plenty where hate abounds. And, you know, I know when I go home, my home is peaceful. When I come home, my wife's always cheery. She has a little something for me to eat. And, you know, as the Bible said, he that finds a wife finds a good thing. So it's important that we draw near to him, as his word says, that he would draw near to you. We're to be that light into the dark places. You know, I'm not saying turn a blind eye to these people on the streets that ask for money, but they need prayer. They need encouragement. And, you know, we need to do the best we can do. And the Lord will show you what to do. But sometimes I lack, in my life personally, I lack discernment sometimes of people. You know, I think everybody's good, everybody's kind, and they're not. And it's really, it's getting dark. And I don't mean to glorify the darkness, you know, because we're supposed to be the light into the dark places that he sends us. But let's stay focused. Let's stay focused, not on the news, not on the stock prices, not on the gold prices. You know, gold's going up to $5,200 an ounce, and that's great. You know, that's fine. But don't let that be, you know, and I have issues too. I look at the Money Channel once in a while, what little bit I have, and, you know, but don't become glued to the TV. I don't know about any of you, but 5 minutes of it is enough I can take anymore. That's it. You know, I mean, I don't want to be ignorant what's going on. I mean, when I was in the military, you had to keep up with what's going on in the world, current events, because as a soldier, they wanted you to know what's going on in Africa. They wanted you to know what's going on in the Soviet Union or China. You couldn't be ignorant, because if you're called to war, you don't want to go to combat and say, why are we here? You want to know why you're there, because you've been keeping up with the current events and the news. But I think anymore it can get so inundating, you can get so saturated, you know, my wife's cousin said, you know, he was glued to the news since 7 a.m. And I thought, oh, gee whiz, I'd be a nervous wreck. You know, watching the news from 7 a.m, I think it was like 2 o'clock. You know, I think it's time, I think we turn that TV tube off, you know, and the internet, maybe shut some of that stuff off. You know, put on some praise music and meditate on the Word of God. And as this morning, we're going to learn that we're to pray without ceasing, as Paul says. So I'm going to put on a couple songs, and I hope you enjoy them. They're from Maranatha. They're really two good songs. One of them, when I was in the mission field, Maranatha was becoming very popular, and I bought some of their tapes. Back then, they had the, Danny, they had the cassettes. I got away from the A-track. Yeah, Danny, the A-track. Believe it or not, I drove across the country, and we were talking about, who's that one country singer you were talking about that I really liked, and had a cassette. I think you went to hear him in a small a room. Don Williams, yeah. And I had one of his tapes in I believe it was 8-track. I put that thing in, and I believe I listened to Don Williams going across country. And he was a good singer. He has passed away. But let's kind of turn the internet stuff off a while. Maybe the TV, you're spending too much time. We're not spending enough time in the Word of God. And I'm guilty. You know, I'm trying to spend more time. And I'm trying to spend more time just praying, because it's important. It's like breathing, you know, because you never know what the day is going to unfold. And people can just throw your day off. You bump into someone. One of the pastors at church said he was studying for his message for Sunday. And he said, I just really enjoyed studying the Word of God and getting closer to God. And the pastor at the church, he's really anointed, one of the 3 or 4 pastors up there. And he's very anointed. I like each of them, because they minister the Word of God, and it's real. They share from the heart. And he was saying, you know, his wife said, go to Titusville. I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this, but said, go to Titusville. He went to Titusville and went to a Walmart, and he was just discouraged because he bumped into someone, and they were just upset and mad at everything, and the foul mouth, and it threw him off a little bit. And I don't want any of us to be thrown off, although life can do that at times. You know, you just walk out and somebody will say, oh, you can't do this. And somebody will maybe make a gesture to you, or, you know, and that just throws your whole day off. You know, we just have to shake some of this stuff off in life. And for me, sometimes that's very difficult. You know, it's very difficult, because people will comment to me once in a while about some ministry things, or someone might tell me something about business, and it can just throw your day off. But the Word says, perfect peace is his whose mind is stayed on thee. So don't let anyone disrupt you, throw your day off. If they do, let it be like water on a duck's back. Just let it roll off, because I tell you, the world doesn't have any good news. And the good news is, we have the good news, is that Jesus is Lord. That's the good news that we have. Because in 1 John, it says, he that has a son has life. He that does not have the son does not have life. Now, the world is lost, you know, and I think part of America has gone just haywire, you know, our stinking thinking, and we're arguing, we're fighting, and you sometimes see that in the church a little bit, how people are not encouraging you, and I think we need to get back to the cross. We need to get back to Jesus, because he said, peace I give unto thee, not as the world gives, but I give unto thee. So I'm going to play a song, and I hope you enjoy it, because I really enjoyed it when I was in the mission field. I listened to Maranatha quite a bit. And I'll play 2 songs. They're not going to be very long. And hope you enjoy them.
Mountains melt like wax.
This is one of my favorite songs.
As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name.
First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Be patient with all. It can be difficult. Lord, help me in that area. Be patient with all. This is Paul saying, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Love that. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. This is Paul saying. And everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecy. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. That's so good. Now we exhort you, brethren. Comfort the faint-hearted. It's a lot in this. But if we look at verse 16, rejoice always. And sometimes that's difficult. When someone yells at you, pulls in front of you, you had a bad day, you got bad news, it says rejoice always. Paul said that, you know, the Lord didn't give us anything we can't handle. You know, I can do all things, as Paul said, through Christ, who strengthens me. And then verse 17, love this one. I'm encouraging each and every one of you that are listening. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Pray without ceasing. If there's ever a time in our history of America, we need prayer. We need prayer because our country, I feel in my heart, our country is, I don't know if we're lost. I know we have an anger issue in America. And we're just to pray. Pray for those that are appointed over you. Pray for the president. Pray for the senators, whether they be Democrat or Republican. We need to pray for them. Pray for the pastors. Because I tell you, the enemy is coming after pastors, Christians, and we need to pray for those that are appointed over us, whether they're presidents, the governor, mayor. We need to pray for them. That's why it says Paul's telling us to in everything, give thanks, rejoice always, and pray without ceasing. You know, that's a sermon in itself. Rejoice always, that's a sermon. Pray without ceasing, that's a sermon in itself. And everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. So, he doesn't give us anything we can't handle. Doesn't do any good to complain. You know, you're going through what you're going through because maybe the Lord's allowing it. You know, he's allowing it in your life. Sometimes it's painful. But you need to bathe your situation. You need to bathe yourself in prayer. Pray for our country. It's in dire need of prayer. You need to pray for Iran. You need to pray for Israel. There's a lot of stuff we could be, a lot of things we could be praying, a lot of people we could be praying for. Make it a habit to continue to pray without ceasing. I come here each week. I come here live to encourage you. Hebrews 3:13. I hold tight to that one. Encourage one another daily. What a day is still called today. Didn't say backbite one another daily, fight one another daily, you know, become bitter at one another daily. It says encourage one another daily. You know, encourage that brother. Encourage that sister. You never met him. You know, you go to church, you turn around and welcome that person in back of you, to the left of you, to the right of you. That's their first time that they may be, they come to church. You know, encourage them. Love on them. Say welcome. You know, you go to work, encourage your boss. You go to church, encourage your pastor. The youth pastor, encourage them. They need it. We all need it. Let's get in the habit of encourage one another daily. What a day is still called the day. I think we all need to work on that. You know, Lord, wake us up. Let us realize that we need to rejoice always. No matter what's going on around us, no one's going to throw us off. And sometimes that's difficult. You know, we're human. And things could throw us off easily. You know, but let us stay focused. Let our keep our eyes on you. Pray without ceasing, Lord. Let us just, I believe praying is like breathing. You know, when you breathe, that's start praying. Don't pray out loud and be noticed by man. Just say, Lord, help me in this situation. You know, I mean to draw near to you. As your word says that you would draw near to us. Wake us up, Lord. Wake our nation up. Wake our churches up, Father God, that we can be that light into the dark places that you're calling us to be. Wake us up. Lord, wake me up. You know, that we can fall deeper in love with you like never before, Father God. And let us do as Paul said, not quench a spirit, Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. Father God, help us with that, that no matter what our day unfolds in our day, that we can stay focused, keep our eyes on you. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks for everything that's going on. Father God, help us get on our knees more. Because as I shared to the listeners, the greatest battles, Father God, that can ever be won are on our knees. So I encourage each and every one of you to pray without ceasing. Father God, help us all to encourage one another daily. Father, the days are getting darker. The days we live in are just, they're so unknown. But only you know the answer. And Father God, have us stay focused, not on our situations or what's going on the news. Have us spend more time with you and fall deeper in love with you. And I thank you for that. Father God, we pray for the peace of Israel. Let no weapon formed against Israel shall prosper, Father God. You bless them, Father, because they are the apple of your eye. I pray, Father God, for protection for Israel, that no weapon again, Father God, will prosper for Israel. Father God, I pray for confusion in the camp of the enemy that would come to destroy Israel. I pray that your hand would be upon him. And I pray you would be with the Iranian people, that this devastation has come upon them. Father God, I don't understand war. I do know there's people that were wicked in power. But I pray, Father God, that the people will be set free. But most of all, the Iranians would come to know you as Lord and Savior. In 1 John says, if I remember, Father God, it says that I came to give you life and life abundantly. And you're the only one that can give us life, that life in you. You can give us your peace, your joy, your happiness, your gentleness, your compassion. Father God, I pray the Iranians, Father God, that you'd be with them, that they would once again, Father, they would have freedom in their land, and they would come to know you as Lord and Savior. Father, I pray for America, that, Father God, we wake up. I pray that you would stir America like never before, and you would help us. You would help us find our way back to you, because we are a Christian nation, founded on Judeo-Christian principles. Father God, no matter what anyone says, that, you know, I heard one person say one time, we're no longer a Christian nation, but we are. We are. We were founded on Judeo-Christian principles, Father God. Let us never forget that. Let no one ever take that away from us. And I pray, too, for confusion of the camp of the enemy that wants to come in our land to destroy it, to disrupt it. I pray, the Father, that we would keep our eyes on you, that we would not be a broken nation. I pray that if we are, Father God, you can put us back together. And I ask this in Jesus' name, Father God, we pray. And just encouraging each and every one of you to don't be faint-hearted. You turn the news on, maybe turn it on for a few minutes and, you know, turn it off. You know, these are definitely turbulent, troubled times that we're in. But the one that holds the upper hand is not our government. It's not your governor. It's Jesus. He holds the upper hand, but he wants us to pray without ceasing, as Paul encourages us to give thanks in all things and to pray without ceasing. So stay focused. It's definitely turbulent and troubled times we're in, but we have to stay focused. I encourage you to read the Word. I encourage you to develop some time with God, you know, some quiet time in the morning, afternoon, or evening, and to be about praying more. As Paul says, pray without ceasing, that we would develop that quiet time, that we would be that light that he's calling us into the dark places, and we'd go in and light it up. But may we never forget that we don't have the nail marks on our hands, that he does, and he shares his glory with no man. It's all about Jesus, not about us, whatever we do. It's all about him. May he give you the strength, the endurance, the patience, the zeal, the joy to go into to the nation and just light it up to be on fire. I pray the churches would wake up. I'm not being critical for the churches. I love the churches. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up and say, Lord, wake me out of dormancy, you know. Stir me up, shake me up, you know, burn the things that need to be burned out of my flesh, Father God, that we can draw near to you. As you said, you would draw near to us. And I pray, Father God, that the churches won't be the same anymore. You know, sometimes I've heard people say the nation's broken. That's because the church is broken. And I don't want the church to be broken. I want the church to be strengthened and to be that light into the dark places, that we would all use the gifts that he's given us, that we would not envy one another because one person has a certain gift and another person has a certain gift, and we come in and we feel threatened by that. Our security is not in our gifts. Our security is not in what we own. It's not in our wealth. Our security is only found in Jesus. And that we would be so secure in Jesus that we would go strengthen that brother, that sister, encourage that pastor, encourage the youth pastor, encourage anyone that's sitting to the left of you, to the right of you. In Jesus' name, I pray that we would now take a stand like never before and be that light into the dark places and wake us up. Lord, wake us up. Wake me up, you know. The joy of the Lord is our strength, not the joy of your checkbook, not the joy of your job. The joy, the Bible says, the joy, the scriptures tell us, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It is, you know. God wrote the book, I didn't. The joy of the Lord, nothing else will ever replace that. He can only give you that joy if you just get on your knees and say, Lord, help me. Be that light into the dark places. Wake me up out of dormancy. My gifts have been dormant. Wake them up. Wake me up that we may be that blessing to the people that we're supposed to be. And I tell you, Father God, I just, the listeners, that I pray that you would never be the same today. No matter what's going on in your life, you'd be stirred up, filled to overflowing. That people say, you know, when you go in a restaurant or you go somewhere, that they say, hey, what makes you tick? What makes you tick? You know what makes me tick? Jesus. What makes you tick? You know? Not watching the stock market tick, 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 and go up. Then you get down because it ticks down. You know? The Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Well, I was going to ask Danny if he'd come back and like to open the phone lines up. And if there's anyone out there discouraged, you need more joy, you can call on him. If you've been brokenhearted, you've been distracted, you've lost your job, you know, you're homeless, you know, you got a bad report from the doctor, you can take that report right to Jesus, you know. You can take that right to Jesus, you know. And I'm not against doctors by no means. I love doctors. You know, I thank God for doctors. Luke was a physician in the Word of God. Luke, he was a physician. So I thank God for doctors. But there's some of them out there, they need to go back to school. You know, are they in it for the money? You know, are they in it because they want to help people? You know, it's like a lot of ministers. Sometimes I feel some of the evangelists are in it just for what they can get, not for the people. We need to be building people and not building buildings. I'm not against buildings by no means, but we can get sidetracked like the world. The world wants to build a building in their name. The world wants to have the fame and the glory. Glory always should go to Jesus. Should go. I know it should go to Jesus. We need to stay focused. It's about building lives. And I pray we get back to that in our churches, that we're building people, not building buildings and $70 million jetliners for ourselves that we can be comfortable. You know, we're building people. And that's what Jesus, if he were here, I can tell you what, Jesus wouldn't be living in a $35 million mansion like some of these evangelists. And I don't mean to pick on him, but it irritates me. And, you know, they're flying these $70 million jets. You know what you could do with $70 million instead of buying a jet? You could invest that money and they can endow their ministry forever to help people. And that's what they should be doing with it. And I heard one minister say, well, you know, evangelists say, well, you know, God wouldn't have me around stinky people. That's why I have my private jets. You know, I'm glad Jesus didn't have that attitude. I'm so thankful and grateful that Jesus didn't have that attitude. I'm not going to be around stinky people. You know, that's who Jesus would be around. The stinky people. He said, I came to give you life and life abundantly. You know, Who are we today? Come on, Lord, wake us up. Wake these evangelists up that are just out for just one thing, not for people, but for themselves, and build their kingdom here on this earth, but to build your kingdom. Let them stay focused, you know? And I don't want to become critical to these people, but it irritates me sometimes to think, you know, that's why people don't give anymore, because they see how much money some of these people are getting. And we're not building people. We've gotten off track a little bit. We've gotten off track. Lord, help me stay on track. You know, that it's about people, building people up. And that's what it is, pointing people to Jesus, to the cross. And if you know Jesus and you've just become dry and stale, you need to call in. You know, I need to pray for you. You had a vision and you just lost it. You just gave up because somebody said something to you. I like what Pastor Malcolm Wilde said one time. He said, if someone in the church discouraged you, there'll be plenty more to encourage you and love on you. I love when he said that, you know, because that's so true. If someone's hurt you, you know, disappointed you, I tell you what, there'll be a lot of other people that'll come and encourage you. And as Hebrews again says, we're to encourage one another daily. So if you're discouraged, I want to give you an opportunity to call in. The number here is 632-1000. I don't know, Danny, if you're listening, if you could come back in a minute and just let one or two people call in, because I really sense in my heart the Holy Spirit's telling me that some people are discouraged. You're discouraged maybe at the church. You're discouraged about your job. Just didn't take it to prayer. Some of you have just gone plumb dry in your life. You know, you need a stirring up, awakening. You need a dose of the Holy Ghost. I'd say, you know, fill me up to overflowing. You become dry and stale. Lord can change you if you let him. You know, you've been so disappointed at this, mad at this person. Lay all that at the cross. Learn to forgive. The word says 70 times 7. Didn't say 7 times. It said 70 times 7. That's 490 times. That's an infinite amount of times that you're going to remember how many times. Just go ahead and forgive that person and move on with your life. I believe if you don't learn to forgive, it's like cancer to the body. It'll eat you up. And you won't reach those places that Jesus wants you to reach. Come on, let him stir you up, wake you up right now. Come on now, me included. You know, if you've become stale, if you become weary, you've not been staying focused, why don't you call in, you know? The number here is 632-1000 if you need prayer. Come on, call in. Don't be bashful. This is not a time to be bashful now. Church needs to wake up. You know, we need to stand up and speak up and point people in the right direction to Jesus, you know, and give him all the glory and the praise, you know, and you can call in. Come on. Some of you have been discouraged, disappointed. Your life has become stale and dry. You know, I used to be that way. You know, I used to be shy and quiet. You couldn't have got a word out of me. Now you can't shut me up. My wife said, just be quiet, you know. But, you know, I believe we're in a critical time in America, a time where, you know, we need to be not just hearers of the word, become doers. It's time now. Church, we need to rise up in God's love, God's mercy, and God's gentleness and compassion. When we go out into the world, we don't need to browbeat them. Beat him with throw a Bible at him and hit him over the head with it. No, we just need to love on him. You know, there's a scripture that says, as a deer panteth for the waters, so my soul longeth after thee. You know, if you go up to that deer and you yell at it, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to that deer? He's tasting the waters. He's going to run away from you. You yell at him, he's going to run away. And I think sometimes we, the church, we do that. We go up and scare people. We tell them, you're a sinner and you need to, why don't we just go up and love them? You know, why don't we just go up and share Christ with them? Why don't we go up and encourage them? Don't run these people away. You know, let's be his eyes, his hands, his mouth, his ears, his arms, his legs. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. But do it in grace. Do it in mercy. Do it in his love. You know, let him pour his mercy out and his joy, his compassion, his meekness. May you walk in that. May he strengthen you. You know, perfect peace, the word the scriptures tell us, is his, whose mind is stayed on what? Not the circumstances, not the internet, not the news. Perfect peace is his, whose mind is stayed on thee. I come each week to encourage you to try to get you to draw near to him, to try to fire you all up, you know, fire you up. You need to fall deeper in love with Jesus. I do too. I'm trying, you know. The joy of the Lord, it will always be your strength. You know, don't look at circumstances. Stay focused. Come on now, saints. You know, let's be honest. Are you where Jesus wants you to be? You know, are you staying fired up for him? Or have you gone cold? You know, I'm not putting you down. I'm not. You know, I want you to do everything that Jesus has called you to do with your life. I believe everyone's called. I do. I don't believe they're called. Everyone's called to jump and go into the mission field. Everyone's called to be a teacher. Everyone has different gifts. And we come together. That's the beauty of the church. We come together as a body. And that's the beauty of the church. Not everyone's a hand. Not everyone's a foot. Not everyone's eyes, ears. But we take our gifts and glorify him and each other. And so I just encourage you this morning, start spending time with him. You know, spend more time with him. Open the Word of God. Start in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And draw near to him, as he said, I'll draw near to you. Cast your cares upon him, for he careth for thee. Sometimes I think we go around and just call a bunch of people and say, you know, listen to my problems. And that's nothing bad about that, you know. But then you end up wearing your friend out. When he said, Jesus says, cast your cares upon me, for he careth for you. Are you casting your cares upon him? Are you casting them on all your friends? Sometimes you just have to go to Jesus and say, Lord, and God uses people, don't get me wrong. Sometimes you just have to go to the Lord and say, I just cast my cares on you. You're suffering with anxiety? I do sometimes. I just say, hey, Lord, help me with this. Help me with anxiety. Help me stay focused. Help me to cast my cares upon you. For you said, you care for thee. You care for thee. You're listening, and I know you're discouraged. The Holy Spirit's telling me there's a lady, and you're very, very discouraged. And you know, and I often get discouraged too. I do. And that's why it's so important that we encourage one another. But you stopped. You stopped running the race. You've just stopped. You've given up. And don't give up. Don't give up, because the Lord has something in store for you. And all you that are listening, you're called, you're gifted, but let him wake those gifts up in you that's gone dormant. Lord, wake me up. Maybe I've gone dormant. Let us just fall deeper in love with you like never before. You know, that's what's so important. You know, if you want to call in, the number here is 632-1000. Boy, the phone, I'm wondering if anyone's listening to this program. You know, I often wonder. You know, don't be shy. Don't be shy. You don't have to give your name when you call in. Just say, look, Brother Tom, I'm hurting. I tell you, the more people you get praying for you, the better, you know, to encourage you. Some of you maybe lost your way. Maybe you've been hurt by the church and you need to go back. Maybe you need to forgive 70 times 7, but just forgive once and move on. Don't stay trapped in that offense. Be free in Jesus. Be free. Forgive that person. Forgive that pastor. Forgive that teacher. Forgive that person. Forgive your coworker. You know? But I have a right to be offended. No, you don't. You don't have a right to be offended. You don't. You could say, well, they've wronged me. But you still don't have a right to feel offended. But I've been wrong, Tom. Well, let go of it and forgive them. Forgive them. You know? Forgive them. And move on with your life to the greater levels and heights that Jesus wants you to go to, because you have gifts in your life, and don't let them go dormant. And if they are dormant, Lord, I pray you bring that person out of dormancy. Let them use their gifts for your purpose and for your glory, whatever that may be. You know, when they go to, they would have a new step, a new dance, a new smile on their face, because your word's right. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Not the joy of my job, not the joy of my problems, the joy of the Lord. I pray that's your peace, that he says, peace I give unto thee, not as the world gives, and only Jesus can give to thee. Well, I'm thankful that you're all listening. I wish people would call in. That's my number one thing here, coming to the station live. I don't like to pre-record, because I like to hear from the heart of God what I'm to do when I come here. And I really do. I get before the Lord and say, what am I supposed to speak about? I was in the book of Matthew, and then the Lord led me to pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians. And I like people to be a part of the program. It's not about Tom. I'm not here to try to make a name. I don't want a name. I want Jesus' name to be known. Keep me out of it. You know, keep me out of it. I'm not here to glorify Tom at all. I'm here for the people. And that's what Jesus, you know, says, that we're to bear one another's burdens. Are you doing that? You know, are you doing that? Are you taking a brother and saying, or a sister and saying, I want to encourage you? Times have been tough. I want to encourage you. I want to strengthen you with God's help. You can do it. Start making that a habit. Church, let's wake up. Let's wake up. Let's all of us wake up. I pray for a new dawn and a new day and a new beginning for each and every one of you that are listening. I pray for our churches, that our churches would never be the same, that you would never be the same. You would never be the same. I pray in Jesus' name that we stay focused. Each and every one of you that are listening, stay focused. You know, fall deeper in love with Jesus. Let him guide you. Let him strengthen you. Some of you need strengthening. Lord knows I do. You know, my body, it's been a little challenging with my back, but I haven't been complaining. You know, the doctors can't do anything. So, you know what? I thought, okay, they don't seem to care. I'm not bad-mouthing them, but they just don't seem to care. I had one doctor kind of get on me a little bit and said, well, you know, he gave me about 6 shots in my back, and he didn't even care at all. And how have we come this far that the doctor doesn't even care about the patients anymore? You know, what's happened to us as a nation? You know, the rich want more. You know, doctors just want more. Not all. And I'm not being critical. But what about the people? You know, what about people that are hurting? You know, whether you're hurting mentally, physically. You know, I just, you know what I've done? It's a little radical. And I shared this the other night at church. You know, when the children of Israel left Egypt, they left Egypt. They were in the wilderness for an awful long time. Years and years, 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 years. I think it was 30, I believe. Where were their CVS pharmacies? Where were their Medfast clinics? Where were their clothing stores like Belk Lindsay and they didn't have any. They didn't need it. They had Jesus. And I tell you what, you know, we need Jesus now more than ever. And I just went, I took my issue and I took it to the cross and said, Lord, you help me do what I can do to strengthen this body, to exercise, maybe shed a few pounds and to do these exercises once the doctor taught me to do. And thank you for touching my back as only you can do. Let Jesus touch you today, whatever you need. Let Jesus touch you. Let Jesus strengthen you, you know? And let him do what he does best. And I pray for a miracle in the making in his time for you in Jesus' name. Remember, don't be like the 9 lepers. Only one went back to say thanks. And when he touches you, strengthens you, go back and thank him. Go back and thank him for touching your body, touching your finances, touching your marriage, touching your workplace. Go back and thank him. Don't forget. Don't forget to thank him. Well, my time's about up. I'm going to leave you with a song. And this song, it means a lot to me. It means a lot to me. And this is the purpose of my program. When you listen to this song, this is what it's all about. Falling deeper in love with Jesus. Well, until next week, may God continually richly bless you with the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. May we never seek his hands, for we can get out of him. May we seek him and come to know him as our Lord and Savior. God bless you until next week, and I look forward to being back next week. God richly bless you all.
Where I wanna be, I'm home when I am here.
by your gaze. I can't resist the tenderness in you.
Get closer to him, like never before.
Humbled and amazed that you would call my name. I never have to search again. There's a deep desire that's burning like a fire to know you as my closest friend.
You've been listening to Wake Up, the radio broadcast brought to you by Tom Jones Ministries. Be with us again next Thursday at the same time for Wake Up with Tom Jones.